This time the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. See, some are anxious. Now I want to ask, have you ever been excited about giving someone a gift, probably even more excited than they might have been in receiving the gift, something that you know was something that that person would really enjoy, or something you know that they were longing for, or maybe it just was something of sentimental value. I know for parents, you know that it seems like every year there's at least that one item that every kid has on their Christmas list that is the one item that they're just longing for. They can't stop thinking about it. A few years ago, I had the opportunity with my kids to surprise them with something that most of you know I'm a techie, so electronics impress me too sometimes, so there are a lot of times. But back in, I think it was in 2006, the number one gift that year, family gift, was the Wii, the gaming system. But I don't know if you remember how hard it was to come by that first year. And so you had to be looking, unless you were just lucky enough to be in the store when they brought the box in. That was one thing that I knew my kids would love, and I still, to this day, I kind of struggle with the fact that I gave in to the whole rush and trying to get this. I remember back in the 80s, the Cabbage Patch dolls and the shortage, and some of the kids. Do you guys even know what a Cabbage Patch doll is? Okay. That rush, that mad rush of trying to find that gift. I think the positive, the one thing I can take away from that, though, is I was trying to get something I knew that they would want, something they would enjoy, that we could do together as a family. My wife would say I'm now trying to justify that gift. But I look back at that time, and it was crazy because, you couldn't find them. If they got them in a store, it was gone within hours. And so I signed up on every alert system and everything. And I remember I was painting one day at our house, and was painting our dining room, my cell phone went off. I had an alert that the Walmart, 15 minutes from the house, had a shipment. And so I ran out of the house, didn't even think that I was painting. So I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't do anything. Didn't even notice that the pants I had were the ones that I should have thrown away, but I had used duct tape on the backside just to get a little bit more use out of them. And realized that as I'm standing in Walmart asking the electronic store person about this gift. But I look at that, and I can think of also some gifts that were not as big of a deal that my kids enjoyed, or some things that were meaningful to my parents that I was able to give them as a gift. That I think we've all experienced to some level that excitement and that joy of giving someone a good gift. And the passage we're going to look at today talks about our Heavenly Father who desires to give His children good gifts. What I realized as I was wrestling with this text this week is usually when we read this, because we're the children, we're God's children, we read it from the child's perspective. And it's important that we look at how Jesus tells this, not only the teaching, but then gives the illustration more from the Father's perspective, of a father who desires to give good gifts. And by looking at that, it totally changes the way that we approach prayer with new, renewed confidence. Before we read this, I just remind you, a couple weeks ago we looked at the instructions in the end of Matthew 6. Jesus taught about not worrying. And we focused on the fact that if you focus on what Jesus teaches about what we need to believe, that He values us and that He cares for us, it makes a lot more sense about that instruction, the command to not worry. And in the same way here in this passage, when we understand that we have a Heavenly Father that desires to give His children good gifts, it changes how we come to Him in prayer. And so that truth is at the foundation of everything we're going to look at today, that we understand the truth of who God is and have confidence in Him and His desire to give His children good gifts. It changes the way we approach Him in prayer. Let's look at Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that today, that wherever we might be personally in this issue, Lord, of trusting you, Lord, having a confidence in you, our Heavenly Father, and a Heavenly Father who loves his children and desires to give his children good gifts, Lord, I just pray that you would speak through your Spirit today. Remind us of your love. Lord, whether we had a good or not so good heavenly or earthly Father, we know that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. And for any way that our earthly fathers maybe fell short, or in my situation, maybe falling short, Lord, we know that we serve you, a Heavenly Father who is perfect. And Lord, you do love us, and you desire to give us good things. Lord, I just pray that today that you would speak to us through your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to look at verses 7 and 8 again. And if you look in the next slide, I tried to emphasize the three key words here. And it's interesting, they're commands. But those commands, this is the type of a command that's more of an invitation. It's an invitation, like Jesus standing with the woman at the well and encouraging her to drink. It comes across in the language as a command, but it's more of an invitation. And here, Jesus is giving us this instruction in prayer, and it's telling us to ask, to seek, and to knock. Verse 7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." You know, there's an aspect of asking. Sometimes people don't like to ask for help. I think it's a Western PA thing. I grew up in Western PA, so I can say this. I think sometimes we like to, my observation is most people in Western PA, we like to help others. But we have this little, sometimes a difficulty in asking for help ourselves. And I think that in some ways it's a noble thing, but also I think sometimes that can hurt us. Because sometimes there are times where we need help. And we need to go to friends. We need to go to family members. We need to invite them into the need that we have. But you know, I think also that can also carry over to our relationship with God. And sometimes that we think, well, this is not a big deal. I'll figure it out. And so we have small things, small needs, and we decide I'm not going to take that to God in prayer. Or it's something that is so big, it's overwhelming, and you just don't feel like you can go to God with that need. I mean, there are a lot of different reasons, games that we play in our heads that keep us from bringing our needs to God in prayer. And I just want you to think about these words again. Ask, seek, and knock. That asking, we're basically, there's a humility in that we're asking, recognizing our need, and we're going to God for assistance, and we're asking him to help, to step into our situation. That seeking means that we're pursuing him. The knocking is means that we're not giving up. We're persevering. And yet some of you probably have experienced those moments where you stopped asking. Maybe you just were wondering if, okay, God just doesn't seem to be answering that one. And so you get discouraged and you give up. One of the things that I think stands out in this passage is that each of these words, both in verse 7 and in verse 8, they ask, the seek, the knock, and they ask, the seeks, and knocks, again in verse 8, are present tense. It doesn't say ask in the sense of once. It says to ask, continue, to be in a place in your life where you're just continuing going to God, asking, bringing our needs before him. We're going to God seeking his answer. We're going to God seeking his will. We're going to God knocking and being persistent. And Jesus talks about that in more than one occasion of the persistent widow and others, of why it's important for us to be persistent and not give up in our prayer. Not that we're trying to change God's mind, but that we need to go confidently to God, knowing that he desires to answer our prayers. That present tense is reminding us that we need to be persistent. We need to not give up. But I want to ask you, you know, what do you do with your needs or your desires? I think sometimes we stuff them. Sometimes we have other things that we run to. Some of us are independent. We try to fix it ourselves. And that doesn't mean that when we go to God in prayer that we don't also have to get our hands and our feet dirty and oftentimes do the work along as God is working in us and answering that prayer. But we need to be understanding that God desires for us. He desires that we come to Him. I want to ask you, too, there's a little word here that I think it's not mentioned directly, but I think it's at the it's a key word in this section, much like in this passage we looked at back in Matthew 6. And that issue is trust. And, I mean, do we trust God enough that we go to Him asking? When there's a need in your heart and in your life and a concern that you have, or there's something you're desiring, do you have a heart of a child that goes to his father and go and ask, bring your request before God? That issue of trust, I think sometimes we struggle with that because sometimes we feel like our prayers aren't answered. Sometimes there are situations where we don't understand how God answered the prayer. And the reality is we live in a world in which there is suffering and there's pain and things that we experience that Christ has already put into motion, answering that need of resolving the pain and the suffering in this world and the fact that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for us. And He put into motion a resolution of the pain and suffering that we experience in this life, knowing that there is a day coming because of what Christ has done, that there will be no more death, there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain and no more suffering. But between here and there, we have the opportunity to walk with God in relationship as our Heavenly Father. And I just want to ask you, are you trusting Him? Are you trusting Him with your needs and with your wants? Go to the next slide, you'll see that I highlighted some different words, the answer, that if we ask, if we seek, if we knock, in both of these passages and these verses, I'm going to ask if my mic can come down just a little bit. There's a little bit of ringing. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open to him. Now here, we don't have present tense, we have a future tense. And it's reminding us of the fact that this is something that will happen. And it's not an invitation, it's a promise. That if we come to God and we ask, if we seek, and if we're knocking, we're going to God for the needs and our desires. We know that God desires to give us good gifts and He desires to answer our prayers. We see this throughout the scriptures. We see it through the Psalms. We see it in a lot of other places. I know my wife, who's in with the preschoolers this morning, her life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. Sometimes many of you are familiar with that verse, but it's interesting if you keep reading. I think it informs us on God's desires. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." I believe Scripture is clear, and in my experience, I think this is true, even though sometimes we wonder, but God doesn't desire to hide from us. When we seek Him, I mean, again, what those verses said, that when we seek Him, you will seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God desires for us to seek Him. He desires for us to recognize our relationship with Him as our Heavenly Father and be in a position of need and be in a position of looking to Him for His guidance and His provision in our life. But we have to make that choice to trust. Trusting not only in the asking, but then trusting once we've asked, once we've expressed that need and that concern to God, then we trust Him with the answer. You know, often when I look at this passage and when this has been something that's been discussed among other Christians, especially from different denominational backgrounds and experiences, sometimes the question is asked, does that mean I can ask for anything I want? Put this into context again of this passage. It's about a relationship with a Heavenly Father. I want my kids to come to me with their needs and their desires. Am I going to give them anything they ask for? No. There are some things that I believe that are not good gifts. The only difference in where this relationship breaks down and the analogy breaks down is some things are out of my control. And I can't give. God has the control. He has the ability to do that. That's where this illustration can break down. But God's desire, the Heavenly Father's desire, is to give good gifts to His children. But sometimes the things that we pursue are not good gifts. And we have to trust Him in that. Here we see again that God has made the promise. He's committed the promise that if we ask, He's going to answer. If we seek Him, we're going to find Him. If we keep knocking, that he's going to show up. He's going to answer those prayers. But the reality is, it's not usually, and at least in my life, it's not always in the way that I expect. If nothing else, it's not always in my timing and how God answers prayers. I remember teaching my kids when they were younger that God will always answer our prayers, but sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is no. And does anyone else help me? Wait. I think at least that's what I taught my kids, was wait. So, I mean, God will answer our prayers, but sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. And I remember when, I'm not sure even Katie was born yet, but I remember Bryce, when he was younger, he was afraid of storms. Since I'm giving this illustration, not to embarrass Bryce, who I think is up in the sound room, he's not still afraid of storms. So, you know, no picking on Bryce about the storm issue. But, you know, I remember being at Mahaffey, and we were in our little trailer at the time, and storms coming in, and I love storms. And I'll sit out, I mean, if I can sit out on the porch, I'll watch storm. I enjoy the storm. I enjoy the cold breeze, enjoy the whole experience. Bryce was hiding in the trailer. And I realized this was a real fear. And I remember one day he was praying. He could see a storm coming, and he was praying and said, he told me, he said, I prayed that the rain would not come. And probably about 10 minutes later, the rain started falling. We had to run to the cafeteria to get out of the rain. And I remember, he probably was about 5 at the time, he looked at me and said, well, I guess the answer was wait. And I thought, okay, at least something I taught him was sinking in. But, you know, sometimes we're not praying about the storm. Sometimes we're praying about life storms and situations or wondering how are we going to pay our bills this month or a lot of different things that we might bring to God as a need. And we wonder about God's timing. And we struggle with that. And I believe the point here is not for us to argue about, does this mean I pray for anything? The point that Jesus is making is that we pray not to control God's hand, but we pray with confidence. We pray in confidence knowing that He loves us, and He will lead us, He will answer those prayers, and He will provide for us in giving us good gifts. That promise rests on this truth. And again, I already explained that just like the message a few weeks ago and the instruction of not to worry, Jesus gave that command of do not worry and then explained, says, look how God cares for the sparrow. Look at how beautiful the field is and emphasize the fact that God values us and He cares for us. And if we really believe that God values us and He cares for us, we don't need to worry. This is kind of picking that back up and saying, and if we believe this truth, that our Heavenly Father desires to give us good gifts, it changes how we go to Him in prayer. If we really believe that God desires to give us good gifts, it changes the way that we ask. It changes the way that we approach Him. Matthew 7, 9 through 10 says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now the reality is, my kids have never asked me directly for bread, or I guess maybe at the meal table, pass the bread, but that's not usually isn't on the list today. But when Jesus was giving this account, he used things that the people that were hearing him would understand. And they would understand what was being asked and realize that even a heaven or earthly father knows that if they ask for bread, they're not going to give him a stone. If they ask for a fish, they're not going to give him a snake. They're going to give them something good. You know, I think sometimes we get tripped up on this phrase too. It says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. And we kind of emphasize, I mean, does that mean we're all evil fathers or mothers? The point here is in the comparison. It's not emphasizing the evilness of the father. The point is that if you compare any father, earthly father, to the heavenly father, we know that he is perfect. And as a father, I can totally identify with this because I know that I have fallen short as a dad many times. And I've had to sit with Bryce and Katie at times and say, I'm sorry for not being there at a time where they needed me for something or just maybe saying something or doing something that was hurtful. I know full well that I pale in comparison to my Heavenly Father. And yet, my Heavenly Father gives me a picture of how I should be leading my children and interacting with my children. The point here is that our Heavenly Father, that phrase that Matthew uses again and again throughout the passages that we've been looking at in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, how much more? Go back through Matthew and see how many times he uses that phrase. How much more does my Heavenly Father desire to give good gifts to those who ask him? God desires to bless us. He desires to give us the things that we need. Not always the things that we think that we need, but he desires to give us the things that we need and provide for us. As a parent, just like at Christmas time, I want to have that special gift on the table. The reality is, week in and week out, my desire is to give my children what they need and often what they want to be a blessing to them. And yet there are times that my kids ask for things that Jan and I have the conversation and we vote no. And so we give an answer that's not expected or not what our children want. So we've all been, most of us can still remember being a child and asking our parents for something and realizing that there's no way there. I remember for years asking for a go-kart or motorcycle. It was not happening. My parents said no. It wasn't something that was in, they believed would be a good gift for me. We'll argue that later. But you know, my kids have both. There have been things that they've wanted to do, things that they've wanted. And I looked at it, and I just didn't feel it was the best thing for them. And I realized that as a child, that issue of trust comes in again and again. And I know I've had a recent conversation with at least one of my children to say, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Now I have to earn that trust and to continue in that, to keep that trust. But I pray that my kids live in a place that they may not always like my answer, but they know I love them. And they know I want to give good gifts to them. And I want to provide for them in a way that they may not understand, they may not appreciate the way it's coming across or what they're receiving or not receiving. But I want them to be confident that they can come to their Father with their needs. In the same way, our Heavenly Father wants us to have that confidence. The point of this passage is not about control, saying, well, look, it's a magic formula. If I pray it, if I ask, if I seek, if I knock, if I do these things, I'm going to get exactly what I want. The point is that our Heavenly Father wants us to be confident. It's not control, it's confidence. Having confidence in our Heavenly Father that he loves us and he wants to provide for us. He wants to give us good gifts. I want to ask you a couple questions in closing. Next slide. How are you doing at trusting? Are you trusting God enough to bring your needs to him? Are you trusting God enough to bring your needs and your wants? And are you trusting God enough to answer as he sees best? And I will tell you, I think God's big enough, and I read throughout the Psalms where David kind of lamented, saying, God, when are you going to take care of these people that are persecuting me? When are you going to show up? If it's okay to have that conversation, but even if you don't agree with the way that God is answering that prayer, the heart issue for us is: are we willing to believe and to trust God, even when it doesn't make sense, that he's going to be there for us, that he loves us, and he wants to provide for us? We have a Heavenly Father who wants to give us good gifts. You know, the song this morning that we're going to close with is going to be new to most of you, and I really wrestled with whether or not to have the worship team lead a song that was totally new to close with, but even if you aren't comfortable singing it, I encourage you just to focus on the words, because anytime we talk about approaching God with our need for gifts and Him providing for us our needs and our wants, I'm reminded of the fact that we serve in a denomination and the Christian Missionary Alliance that at our heart message is that we don't pursue the gifts, we pursue the giver. But we are, this passage is reminding us that God, our Heavenly Father, wants us to be confident that we can go to Him with our needs, we can go to Him with the things that we desire, and we can go asking and seeking, and that He wants to give us good gifts. But most importantly, remember, and I love the fact that the Luke passage, the Luke account of this teaching, emphasizes not good gifts, but says that God desires to give us the Holy Spirit, His very own Spirit. The most precious gift that God desires to give us is Himself. And I want to encourage you today to just ask yourself, are you not only pursuing God as the person to give us what you want, what you desire, but are you also pursuing the relationship? Because as you grow in relationship with Him, that trust issue that makes it so hard, as you grow in your relationship with Him, it gets that much easier to trust Him. And I have to say, just in closing before I pray, I already referenced my desire for my kids. I desire that my kids know that they can come to me if they have a need. That they can come to me with their list of needs or their wants, and they can come and ask. I don't want them to think that they can't come and ask and bring those needs. I want them. They may not always get the answer they want, but I want them to keep coming. But more importantly, I want them to come for the relationship. I don't want to just be the person who's passing out cash or passing out food or whatever. I want the relationship with my children. Our Heavenly Father desires a relationship with each of us. And giving the gift of His Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sin, He's made the way for us to enter into relationship with Him. But we have to trust Him. And we have to enter into that relationship with Him, trusting Him and walking in obedience, knowing that He loves us and He desires to give us good gifts. But more importantly, He desires to give us His Spirit that we might walk in relationship with Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, just for the incredible gift of Your Son, Jesus, the gift of Your Spirit. Lord, to know that You desire not just to bless us with good gifts, but You desire to bless us with Yourself, with Your Spirit living in us. And Lord, that You desire that we walk in relationship with You. Lord, I pray for each person here today, Lord, that they would not only have renewed confidence in You, their Heavenly Father, who desires to give good gifts, but Lord, that they would make sure that they're in right relationship with You. Lord, help us to trust. Help us to trust not only in Your provision, but most importantly, Lord, I pray that we trust in Your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sin. Lord, that we might have life and have relationship with You. And Lord, I pray that beyond anything else, Lord, that we would pursue not just the gifts from Your hands, the blessings that come in walking with You, but Lord, may we truly pursue You and the relationship that You desire to have with each of us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.